Chazor Zeichen Nishabach Chesach Shalom Yehudim Sechaz HaKadishim Daf Nun. Zogt the Gemara, a person sold his possessions with an intent to move to Eretz Yisrael, but never expressly stated his reason. In the end, he couldn't make the move to move to Eretz Yisrael. Rava said these thoughts are Dvarim Shebelev, and therefore they're not given any effect. How does Rava know this? We can't say it's from a Braisa, which says that we force someone to verbally agree to give a carbon, even though a carbon must be brought willingly, and we know that in his heart he doesn't want to bring the carbon, so we see that we don't give effect to what's in his heart, because the Gemara says that case may be different, because every person truly wants to get a kapara, and therefore maybe he probably does really want to bring the carbon. We also can't say from the next part of the Braisa, which says that we can also force someone to give a get or a get shichur until he says that he agrees to give it, although in his mind he's not willing to do so, because that case again may be different because the person truly wants to do what the Rabbanim tell him to do. Zokter of Yosef, he learns it from a Mishnah that says that if a man gave Kedushin and later says, I gave the Kedushin because I thought she was a Kehenas, and it turned out she was a Leviah, the Kedushin remains valid because she in no way misled him. Now he's stating what he had in mind, and still we don't give any effect to it. Abaye says it's not a proof, because maybe that the Tana only passing that way lechumra because he's unsure what the true halacha is. Abaye therefore said the source for Rava is from our Mishnah, which says that the woman was misled, even if she says that she had a mind to agree to the Kedushin if she was misled. The Kedushin is still ineffective. We see that we give no effectiveness to what she had in her heart. The Gemara says this is also not a valid source. It may be in that case she's not believed because she has to render the condition ineffective if she is to be believed, and to that extent, maybe we don't listen to what someone had in their heart. However, in another case, maybe we would listen to what a person says was in their heart. So Rav Chiba often said, Rav Huna explained to Rav Chista the source is a Mishnah that says that if a person told a shliach to get him coins from the wallet on the window and he took the coins from Hekdish, the principle is Chayav Me'ila, even if he says that he had in mind a different wallet. We see that unexpressed intent is not given any effect. Fact number, maybe only in that case we don't believe him because he's trying to make himself potter from bringing a carbon. The Gemara says no, because if he wanted to make himself potter, he could have just said it was amazing instead of a shoygin and he makes himself potter from bringing a carbon. Fact number, he wouldn't say that. He doesn't want to make himself seem like a rasha. The Gemara says yeah, but he could have said that he remembered that the money belonged to Hekdash right before the shliach took it. In which case, Amisha says that it's the shliach who would be chayiv and not the principal. So Gemara, there was a person who sold his possessions so that he can go to Israel, and he expressed his intention. He moved there and realized he couldn't live there. He moved back and wanted his possessions back. Rava said when someone sells his possessions to go to Eretz Israel, he means he wants to live there. Since this person couldn't live there, the sale is now void. Others say that Rava said the person said he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. He did in fact go, and therefore he cannot void the sale now at this point. There was a person, Zakt Gemar, who sold his possessions and said he was doing so that he could go to Eretz Yisrael. At the end, he did not go to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Ashi said if he wanted to, he could have gone. He chose not to, and therefore the sale is not voided. Another version is that Rav Ashi said if he wanted, couldn't he have gone to Eretz Yisrael? The difference between the versions is that according to the first version, even if he was an Oynist, the sale would not be voided, and according to the second version, the Oynis would void the sale. Zok the Mishnah, a man tells the Shliach, go be Mekadosh that woman for me in this place, and the Shliach was then Mekadosh her in a different place. The Kedushin is not valid. If the man had told the Shliach, go be Mekadosh her for me, and you can find her in this place, and the Shliach was Mekadosh her elsewhere, she is Mekadoshes. Zok the Gemara, the Mishnah regarding a Gittin says the same halachas. The Mishnah says, if a man tells the Shliach, give this get to my wife in a particular place, and he went and gave it to her somewhere else, it's possible. If he told her, give it to her, and she can be found in a particular place, and the Shliach gave it in a different place, the get is valid. Both of the Mishnahs are needed, because if we would only have the garden Kedushin, we would say only here he's particular regarding the place, because he wants it to be in a place where people will like him, so they'll say good things to the woman about him if she has information. However, regarding get, maybe he doesn't really care where the get is given. If we would only say the Mishnah regarding get, we would say that he's particular over there, because giving the get in an embarrassing thing, and he only wants to be embarrassed in that place. However, regarding Kedushin, maybe he doesn't care. Zok the Mishnah, if a man is Mekadosh a woman on condition that she is not under any vows, and it turns out that she is, she's not Mekadosh. If he was Mekadosh her without any condition, and it turns out she's under vows, the Kedushin is affected, but she may be divorced without a ksuba payment. If a man is Mekadosh a woman on condition that she does not have any woman, and it turns out that she does, she's not Mekadosh. If he was Mekadosh her without any condition, and it turns out she has woman, the Kedushin is effective, but she can be divorced without a ksuba payment. Any mum, Zok the Mishnah, that would make a koyan puzzle would also make a woman, meaning possible for the purposes of the above scenario. Zok the Gemara, the Mishnah is written regarding Ksubas as well, because here the main point is regarding the effectiveness of the Kedushin, and once we teach that, we also bring down the Halacha of Ksuba. In Meseches Ksubas, the main point is regarding Ksuba. Once we teach that Halacha, we bring down the Halacha of Kedushin as well. Zok the next Mishnah. If a man is Mekadosh two women with one pruta, half to each, or he's Mekadosh one woman with less than a pruta, even if he then sends her gifts, she's not Mekadosh, because we assume the gifts were sent on the basis of the original Kedushin, which was not valid, and not to create a new Kedushin. The same Halacha would apply to a cotton who is Mekadosh a woman and then sent her gifts after becoming an adult. Zuckerman, all three cases of the Mishnah are necessary to be taught. Why? If we don't have the first case, we would say in that case he mistakenly thinks that he gave a full pruta and therefore he thinks the Kedushin would be effective, and the presents that he later sends are clearly not for a new Kedushin. However, in the second case, he knows the Kedushin is not valid. He gave less than a pruta, and therefore we should assume that the gifts that he gives later are worth or with the intent to make a new Kedushin. If we would only have these two cases, we would say in those cases, since the person doesn't realize the difference between a pruta, maybe a drop less, and his money thinks maybe he thinks it's actually worth a pruta. Therefore, the later gifts are not given as a kedushin, a new kedushin. However, when a katan gives a kedushin, he knows it's not kosher, it's not valid, and therefore the gifts that he later gives surely are given with intent for a new kedushin. The Mishnah therefore teaches that even in that case, they're not thought of as being for a new kedushin, and therefore there is no effective kedushin. Zok de Gemara, we have learned that Rav Huna said we're concerned that gifts are sent with intent for a new kedushin. Rabbah said this as well. Rabba asked, our Mishnah says the opposite. Abaye answered, in our Mishnah, it's because he gave her a previous Kedushin, and therefore he doesn't have in mind for another Kedushin. However, Rav Huna was discussing a case where no previous Kedushin was given. Another version says, the Rabba said, I have a proof to Rav Huna's statement from the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says we don't consider it a Kedushin because he already gave her a Kedushin. This suggests that in another case, we would have to be concerned that the gifts create a Kedushin. Abaye says it's not a proof. The Mishnah may be saying that not only are the gifts not a Kedushin when they're given without a prior Kedushin, and there's no reason to think that they were given for Kedushin, rather, even in a case of a prior Kedushin, the gifts are still not considered to be a Kedushin. What's the end result? Are we concerned that a gift was sent as a Kedushin or not? Our Papa said, in a place where people normally give a Kedushin and then send gifts, we must be concerned that the gifts were sent to act as a Kedushin. If in a place where gifts are sent before a Kedushin is given, we need not be concerned that the gifts were sent as a Kedushin. In fact, if people normally give a Kedushin first, it's obvious that the gifts must be viewed as a possible Kedushin. Mar says, the case he is discussing is where most people give Kedushin first and then gifts, but some people first give gifts and then Kedushin. We would think to look at the minority and therefore say the gifts are not a Kedushin. Rav Papa therefore teaches we have to follow the majority of people who do. Asked Rava, what's the halacha that ksuba is found in the marketplace, and are we concerned that the woman named in the is mekadeshes to the man named or not? Rava said, just because we find a ksuba, do you think we'll presume that she's now a married woman? How do we pass? And Ravashi said, in a place where people first give Kedushin and then write a ksuba, we're concerned that she's mekadeshes. In a place where the ksuba is written with before the Kedushin, we're not concerned that a Kedushin took place. It's obvious that in a place where Kedushin is given before a ksuba is written, we must be concerned for a kedushin. Mar said, the cases where a cipher was hard to find, we would think that maybe he found the cipher and therefore had the ksuba written even before he gave kedushin. Rav Ashi therefore teaches that we're still concerned that a kedushin was given. Zok the Mishnah, if a man is mekadesh a woman and her daughter, or a woman and her sister simultaneously, neither of them are mekadeshes. It once happened that there were five women, of which two of them were sisters. A man gathered a basket full of figs. These figs belonged to the women and were of Shemitah. And the man said to the woman, all of you should be mekadeshes to me with this basket. One of the women then accepted the basket on behalf of all of them. The Chum said, the sisters in the group are not mekadeshes, but all the other women are. How do we know that the mother, daughter, or the two sisters who are given kedushin simultaneously are not mekadeshes? Rami Bar Chama said the pasuk of v'isha alachayis alay sikach litzra teaches that at a time when the sisters will become tsaris, co-wives to each other, when they're given kedushin simultaneously, kedushin cannot be effective. Rava is, the pasuk later says that the person will get a karis. Now, if the kedushin is not effective, why is he getting karis? Rava therefore said the pasuk is discussing when they're giving kedushin one after another, and teaches that the kedushin to the second woman is not effective. The reason kedushin is not effective in the case of the Mishnah is based on a statement of Rava, who says that anything that cannot take place consecutively cannot take place simultaneously. Yeah.